Morning, everyone. Please open your Bibles to page 48 of the Old Testament section, starting at verse 1, chapter 6, in the book of Exodus. It's page 48 of the ESV Pew Bible. But the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will deliver, send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of people of Israel, who from the Egyptians are held as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, 'I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for possession. I am the Lord.'" Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. So the Lord said to Moses, "Go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the people of Israel go out of his land." But Moses said to the Lord, "Behold, the people of Israel have not listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh listen to me? For I am uncircumcised lips." But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge about the people of Israel and about Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. We now pick up from chapter 7, starting at verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I commanded you, and your brother and Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them." Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, CCP family. Are we well this morning? Are we well this morning? It is good to see you all, brothers and sisters. My name is Mxolisi. To those who may be seeing this beautiful face for the first time, I am part of the pastoral team here at Christchurch Pinetown, and I thank God for the opportunity to share His word with you this morning, especially as the biggest team in South Africa and in Africa has won yesterday. That is Kaizer Chiefs, if you didn't know. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are a speaking God. Each time when we open the Bible, we hear your voice. Your Holy Spirit is always at work when we open the Bible, helping us to understand it. I pray this morning, as we dive into these two chapters of Exodus, that you would do with your word what only you can do. That is to change hearts and shape us to be more like our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Please keep your Bibles open in those two chapters that were just read for us now. I have given those two chapters a title that is Out of the Storm into the Hurricane. So we come again this morning to our series in the book of Exodus, and those two chapters is where we will focus our attention this morning. A title, as it appears on the screen behind me, is Out of the Storm into the Hurricane. And if you are an English speaker, you probably have met these words a lot. And even if you are not an English speaker, maybe you have come across this saying. It is an English idiom that conveys a similar meaning to other idioms like going from bad to worse. You know that one. And the one that says out of a frying pan into the fire. That's my favorite one. Commonly, these idioms describe a situation that is already unpleasant, a situation that is already difficult, or a situation that is negative, if you like, but that is now becoming even more severe, that is becoming even more unpleasant. You know, that time when you are already going through a tough time in your life, things are not going your way, but then something even more severe happens, something even more bad happens. Have you experienced something like that? When you are facing a difficult situation that is keeping you awake at night and you can't even wait for it to pass. You pray about it, you commit it to the hands of the Lord, but instead of it to change and be better, it gets worse. I'm sure you have examples in your mind of people who experience such, or maybe that is you, maybe you remember a time like that in your life. The time when you wish that people would not ask you about your life, but how is it going? That day when you wish people would not ask you, how is your day so far? Because your day just went from bad to worse. Similarly, this is where the people of Israel find themselves. If you've been following in the story, you will know that they are under a difficult oppression in Egypt. They are under a cruel leadership of Pharaoh. They have cried out to the Lord and asked him to deliver them from their oppression. And God has heard. In chapter 2, verses 23 to 24, we are told that the Lord heard their prayers. He heard their cries. And when he heard, he remembered his covenant with Abraham, the covenant that he made with Isaac and with Jacob. The Lord has heard. Not only did the Lord hear their cries, but he has remembered his covenant, as I've said, with their forefathers. And the Lord has taken a first step towards freeing them from their oppression in Egypt. So the Lord has acted. He has revealed himself, as we saw last week, to Moses in chapter 3. He has revealed himself in the burning bush. He revealed himself, he revealed his name as I am. And in that revelation of him, he commissioned Moses to go to Egypt and liberates Israel from the Egyptian slavery. So finally, the Lord is acting. Finally, the Lord has heard. But we're told from there that Moses, he opposed God's plan. He offered so many objections to the Lord's command. But the Lord, he empowered Moses. We are told, as we saw from last week, we're just recapping for now. He performed 3 miraculous signs to Moses just to empower him. And those 3 miracles were God turning his staff into a snake. The stick that he was holding, he turned it into a snake. He turned his hand into leprous. And he turned water into blood. All of that just so that Moses will know that the Lord is powerful enough to be with him, to assure him that he will be with him. But we're told that Moses, he saw all of those miraculous signs. But did he believe God at that point? No. He offered another objection. He said, I'm slow of speech. He said, can you please send someone else? Remember that. But God didn't like this about Moses. He was very patient with him. He strengthened him. He showed him that he is a powerful God. He is powerful enough even to use his witnesses for his glory. God, he can use him with his witnesses for his glory. So that's what God is going to do. So this is where we are picking up this story today. Moses now decides to finally listen to the word of the Lord. He finally decides to obey God's word. And he goes to Pharaoh. But that only brought intensified suffering to Israel. And that's our first point for this morning. Look with me in chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. The Bible says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. You see that? So finally, Moses is deciding to obey the Lord. He goes to Pharaoh and he's taking with himself Aaron. And they do exactly as the Lord had commanded them. I'm sure at this point, we are expecting the situation to change for Israel, don't we? They have cried out to the Lord, and the Lord has heard their cries, and the Lord has sent a messenger to Pharaoh who was oppressing them. So things are going to change at this point. If it were today, I'm sure Israel would be singing a song that the politicians like so much. Do you know that song? They'll be singing, things are going to change now. The Lord has heard us and he has sent a messenger to Pharaoh. Things are going to change. But is that what happens? Do things change? No. This only brought the intensified suffering to Israel. They suffered even more because of this. We are told that Pharaoh refused to let Israel go. He asked, who is this Lord? Why should I obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. And Morales, an Old Testament scholar who's helping us with this book, he helped us to see here that this implies that Pharaoh, he won't release Israel until the Lord has revealed himself to him. In other words, when Pharaoh releases Israel, it would indicate that he would have come to a realization of who the Lord is. That's what he is saying. I do not know this God, and therefore I'm not going to let go Israel. Who is this Lord? I will only let Israel go when I know this God. But I do not know him. So I'm not going to let his people go. But the only problem with this is that Pharaoh is not going to know the Lord the same way that we have come to know the Lord. He's not going to know the Lord as a savior, as all of us. but he's going to know the Lord as a judge. Pharaoh, as we are told, is raised to a position of a vessel for anger. He will know the Lord as a real God. But he will do so in the same manner as unrepented sinners will on the day of judgment. This is how the Lord is going to reveal himself to Pharaoh. He's going to reveal himself as a judge. And this is striking if you think about it. Pharaoh will know the Lord as a judge and not as a savior. And unfortunately, even today, some people will know the Lord in this way, as a judge and not as a savior. Who are those people? Those are people like Pharaoh. Those are people who opposes God. Those are people who reject God. Those are people who do not want to put their faith in Jesus. Those are people who do not want to repent of their sins. Those are people who think they are kings of their own lives. Those are people who think there is no higher authority than them. They're not going to know God as a savior, but they will know God as a judge. But hold on to that thought for now. We'll come back to it in our last point. So Pharaoh is determined that he is not going to obey the Lord and let Israel go. Even when Moses explains to him that the Lord has met with us, it is him who has sent us to you. The Lord wants us to go to the wilderness and serve him and worship him as his people and sacrifice to him. Pharaoh thinks this is a bad idea. Moses, I'm not going to do that. He's determined to disobey God. And now he will do even more than that. More than just disobeying God. He's going to oppose God's word. Instead of letting Israel go, he's going to intensify their suffering. Look with me in verses 6 to 9. Look at what Pharaoh does instead of listening to God. Chapter 5, verses 6 to 9. The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idly. Therefore, they cry, 'Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying weights.'" You see that? So Pharaoh thinks the people of Israel are just lazy. Just think about that. They need more jobs to do. That's why they think they have time to go and worship God. That's because they are lazy. They are idle. He thinks they have more time in their hands. We just need to add more work on the work they're doing, so that they will forget about worshiping this God. He commands his people that they should make sure that Israel are not given straw to make bricks. The straw was something like a grass. It was what they were using to make their bricks stronger and to prevent cracks from them. So Pharaoh thinks to keep the people of Israel busy so that they don't have time to worship this God, this Yahweh, they should not be given straw to do so. They must go and collect straws for themselves, and the number of brick that they make on the day, it will not be reduced. So he needs the same results, but he is adding more job to do for them. They are suffering even more now. Why? the word of the Lord has reached Pharaoh. We thought it was going to be different. We thought it's going to be, God is going to listen to us now. What is happening? But Pharaoh sees the worship of God as laziness. So he's not going to give them what they want. He's going against Yahweh's word. By the way, this is exactly what happens when you are king of your own life. You see the worship of God as laziness. See the worship of God as foolishness. Pharaoh thinks there is no point in this. These people are just lazy. They should be given more work to do. But what this means is that it's more suffering for Israel. They thought it was their time they've been waiting and praying for. They won't be suffering anymore. God has answered our prayers. But no. They found themselves in a severe situation. If you find yourself in a situation like that, when you are facing a situation and you pray about it, you fast, you talk to other Christians, you ask them to pray with you, but the situation doesn't change. Instead, it gets worse. When someone you love the most, when someone you value, when they die, and while you're still grieving their death, something even more painful happens to you. Maybe you lose a job in that space of time, or maybe even someone else in the family dies. You find yourself in a situation where you don't know what to grieve, because there's just so many things happening at the same time. Often at times like that, we feel that maybe there's something that we are not doing right. Maybe I'm not giving enough money to the church. Maybe it's because of the sin I did 10 years back. This is exactly how Job's friend thought of the situation that Job found himself in. Remember when Job was sick, when he had lost everything, they came to him and they said, maybe you have sinned and you are hiding your sin from God. There's no way a man of God can suffer like this. We serve a powerful God. We serve a God who's providing. What is happening with your life? Maybe you have sinned. What is happening here, church family? Is Yahweh losing? Is God losing? Are God's people losing in the hands of their enemies? Is Pharaoh winning? No, not at all. It seems like that in the story so far. But if you continue, you will realize that Yahweh and his people haven't lost. This is all part of God's plan. This is all part of God's plan. The plan of Yahweh, as we saw in the past sermons, is to make himself known. So he's going to use every situation to make himself known. So all that is happening in the lives of his people is because Yahweh, the God of heaven and earth, he wants to be known. Amen to that. He wants Israel to know him. He wants Pharaoh and the Egyptians to know him. This is the point for the intensified suffering. God wants to be known. And he chooses suffering as a vessel to be known. I know we don't like that. I know we don't like suffering in order for us to know the Lord, but the Lord chooses that. He chooses to reveal himself in the midst of suffering. He chooses suffering, intensified suffering on his people to reveal himself. And so that is what we're going to see in our last 2 points. Point number two, the intensified suffering is so that Israel would know God. It is so that they would have a better understanding of the Lord. They are suffering so much so that they will know the Lord. It is meant to reveal to them who the Lord is. In the same way, God was sovereign over what was happening to Job, He is sovereign to Israel. God is not absent. He is not distant. He hasn't stopped loving them. He hasn't gone back on His promises. But what? He's on a mission to make Himself known. And He has chosen suffering as a vessel to reveal Himself. Suffering is a master of revealing God. We must ask people who've been to suffering. They know exactly who the Lord is. The Lord chose it to reveal Himself. But of course, the people of Israel do not know that. They don't know that their suffering has been chosen as a vessel to reveal who the Lord is. It is only the Lord who knows that. And that's why the people of Israel went to Moses and complained. That's because they do not know. They went to Moses and Aaron and they said to them, "May God judge you because of what you have done. You have brought this suffering to us. May God judge you." Pharaoh now hates us even more. And that because of you, Moses and Aaron. And we're told in chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, that Moses, after hearing those words from Israel, he turned to the Lord. Let's read chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. "Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, why have you done evil to these people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to these people, and you have not delivered your people at all.'" Moses is thinking, "Why did you even call me? Remember when I didn't want to listen to you? Remember when I didn't want to pay attention to what you were saying? Remember when I opposed what you told me? But I decided to listen to you. And this is what you decide to do? You have not delivered your people at all. Instead, they are suffering even more. Why? Why?" Praise the Lord, church family. The story does not end in chapter 5. Because imagine if the story ended in chapter 5. But it does not end in chapter 5. If you go to chapter 6, the Bible begins with, "But the Lord." But the Lord. This means this is not the end of Israel. The story does not end with the enemy rejoicing. The story does not end with the enemy winning. But the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 1, "But the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will send them out. And with a strong hand, he will drive them out of his land.'" Did you see that? Did you get the reason for the intensified suffering? It is so that they can see. "Now you shall see." All of this is happening so that their eyes will be open and see the Lord and see what the Lord is going to do. This is all for the purpose of revealing to them who God is. After God had dealt with Pharaoh, they will know who the Lord is. After the Lord has rescued them from Pharaoh, they will see who the Lord is. They will see that this is the same God who appeared to Abraham. This is the same God who appeared to Isaac, to Jacob. He is God Almighty. After their suffering, they will live with the testimony of who the Lord is. The suffering is going to produce testimony about the Lord. Amen to that. And there is even a very striking detail in verse 3. There's a detail that is striking there. It says, but by my name, the Lord, I did not myself known to them. Who is he talking about? He's speaking about their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They only knew God as God Almighty, but they did not fully experience his character as Yahweh. This is how the Lord is going to reveal himself to Israel. He's going to reveal himself as the covenant-keeping Redeemer. They will know more than Abraham. The Lord is going to reveal more to them than he has revealed himself to their forefathers. They will live in their suffering with the testimony of who the Lord is. The forefathers knew the Lord who made promises to them. But Israel is going to know the Lord as the Lord who makes promises and keep them. He will keep his promises in their time, in their life. They will see this. He's not only a God who makes promises, but he's also a God who keeps them, who visibly fulfills them by rescuing them from Egyptian slavery. That's the God they will see. God is revealing his character to them. He's a faithful God. He will keep his promises. And if you pay a careful attention to the Old Testament, you will know this about the Old Testament. Repetition is very important in the Old Testament. Numbers are very important in the Old Testament. If something is repeated, it means it is emphasized for the reader. The writer does not want us to miss something that is repeated. And there is something that he repeats 7 times in just 3 verses. And that is the I will statement. Let's count those I will statements from verses 6 to 8 of chapter 6. Let's read verse 6. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. That's 1. And I will deliver you from slavery to them. That's 2. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. That is 3. And with the great acts of judgment. Verse 7. I will take you to be my people. That's 4. And I will be your God. 5. Let's jump to verse 8. I will bring you into the land that I saw to give to Abraham. That is 6. And last part of verse 8. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. That is 7. 7 I will statement in just 3 verses. And number 7 in the Bible, as you would know, symbolizes a perfection, the completeness. What does this mean? It means without any doubt, the Lord will surely redeem Israel from oppression in Egypt. And this is what is going to reveal his character to them. This repetition also means that their salvation depends only to Yahweh. Do you see that? They are not in the position to save themselves. Yahweh is the one who will. I will. 7 times. There is not even 1 you will. There is nothing they are going to do. I will. I will. I will. 7 times. It is the Lord who's going to save them. And there is nothing they are going to do. In verse 1, The only thing that they are going to do is to see. When the Lord is saving them, when the Lord is rescuing them, they will see. That's only what they have to offer, is seeing. And I think this should remind us about our own salvation, church family. Just as Israel was trapped in a situation where things went from bad to worse, we as human beings are trapped into a spiritual bondage of sin. And just like Israel, God does not ask them to fight Pharaoh. He asks them to watch as Yahweh fights for them. He is asking us to just watch as He's saving us from our sins. There is nothing we offered in our own salvation. I don't know if this doesn't remind you of the good news. What does this remind you of? This is the good news, that Christ has fought the battle against sin, the battle against death, against Satan on our behalf. And there is nothing we offered. We just stood there and watched. We only watched Him fighting for us. We are receiving salvation as a gift. We do not deserve it. He has fought for us. Isaiah 53 verses 5 says, "But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wounds, we are healed." The wounds are His, but salvation is ours. It's Him who suffered, and we are only watching Him suffering. And His suffering brings us salvation. Israel are just going to stand there and watch the Lord saving them. The same way we just stood and received salvation, there is nothing we can offer to our own salvation. We never fought the battle of our sin ourselves, but Christ did. Through His life, through His death, and through His resurrection, through His ascension, He has fought and defeated sin for us. He has fought and defeated death for us. He has fought and defeated Satan for us. We only just stood there and watched. As one writer notes, he says, "We as believers are no longer fighting for victory, but from victory." We fight not to win victory, but we fight because He has won. Church family, this is the reason why God allowed suffering to Israel. The Lord wants Israel to know Him. He wants them to know Him as their Savior. He's going to reveal salvation to them. "I will." You will see that "I will save you." This is the purpose for the suffering. It is so that they live with the testimony of a God who has saved them. I don't know if you've ever looked at your suffering in this way, that your suffering is so that the Lord can draw you near Him. Is so that the Lord can strengthen your faith. He wants you to trust Him during the difficult time. That's the purpose for your suffering. When everything seems to go wrong in your life, when praying doesn't help, when your prayer seems not to go over the roof? Have you ever thought that maybe the Lord is using this to draw me near Him so that I can realize who He is, realize His salvation? As a Zulu song says, who is it who nywa? As in Sizugubang Sondele Gui. Meaning all this suffering is just a means to draw me closer to God. Have you ever looked at your suffering in that way? Friends, this is exactly what we see here. The Lord is allowing their suffering because He wanted them to know that He is the Lord. He is powerful God. He rescues, He redeems His people from oppression, and He fulfills His promises. But at that point, this is not known to them. What they see in front of them is suffering, is pain. They don't see a God who is keeping His promises. They don't see a God who is their Savior. They are only seeing suffering. But in the bigger scale of things, in the sovereignty, we know that this is because the Lord wants to reveal Himself to them. We are told in chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, that when Moses told all of that to people that the Lord had told him the second time, the people did not want to listen to him. The Bible tells us that it's because their spirit was broken and they were facing harsh slavery. And the Israelites, by the way, are not the only ones who are discouraged. Even Moses himself is also very discouraged. God sent him again to Pharaoh in verse 10 with the same message, "Let my people go." But Moses was not very keen to do that. He says, "These people have not listened to me. How will King Pharaoh listen to me if these people have not listened to me? For I am of uncircumcised lips." So his discouragement took him back to his rejection. He's offering another one. "I am of uncircumcised lips," meaning that his speech is untrained. He thinks he is spiritually ineffective to pass these words to a king. But the Lord is not going to allow Moses to lose hope now. Because why? The Lord is in the mission to reveal Himself, to make Himself known to Israel, to the Egyptians, and to Pharaoh. And that's our last point. It's going to be a quick one. So that Pharaoh and the Egyptians would know God. Through Israel's suffering, the Lord wants to reveal Himself to Israel. And He also wants to reveal Himself to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. But as we said when we were starting, that He doesn't want the Egyptians and Pharaoh to know Him as a promise keeper the same way as He revealed Himself to Israel. He doesn't want them to know Him as a faithful God or as a Savior. He wants them to know Him as a judge. Look with me in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 7. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet, and you shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his hand.'" So God tells Moses that, "I have made you to be like God to Pharaoh." What does that mean? What does that mean that God has made Moses to be like God to Pharaoh? See, this is very important, because if you know anything about Pharaoh, you will know that he viewed himself as a living God. He thought there was no authority above his authority. Because he's the highest authority on earth. So if God makes Moses to be like God to him, it means Pharaoh will have to answer to a power that is greater than him. This is about judgment. You know, when people say, you cannot judge me, only the Lord can judge me, what they say is that you do not have authority over me. Only the Lord has authority over me. So if the Lord is making Moses to be like God to Pharaoh, it means Moses is going to have authority over Pharaoh to be able to pass on judgment to him. In verses 3 to 5, we see that this is indeed about judgment. Look at verses 3 to 4 with me. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply many signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my host, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by the great act of judgment. God states that he will harden Pharaoh's heart. But the text also frequently shows us Pharaoh hardening his own heart. So both of these things are happening in the passage. But the Lord is going to use this in his sovereignty. He's going to allow Pharaoh's stubbornness to play out. Going to allow him to be stubborn so that he can display his full power and judgment. Friends, if there is one thing that we need not to miss, is that God is going to judge sinners. He's going to judge all of those who oppose him. He will judge them. God will bring his people out of Egypt through his great act of judgment. God's people leaving Egypt will reveal God's judgment to Pharaoh. But you ask yourself, why? Why is this important to happen? Why should God reveal himself like this to the Egyptians? It's because of verse 5. Look at verse 5. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. That's the purpose, so that they know that there is the Lord, that God is the Lord, not Pharaoh, not any other God, but the Lord of heaven and earth is the Lord. When I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them, Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. This is for the purpose of God revealing himself to them. Yes, there are people who are going to know the Lord, even if they didn't want to know the Lord. But there is a day that is coming where they will know the Lord. Not as a savior, but as a judge. I mean, did you ever think about that? That we will all, at some point, know the Lord. Maybe you do not want to know him today, through giving your life to Jesus. But guess what? There will be a day where you will know the Lord. And you'll know him as a judge. Because he will judge you whether you like it or not. Whether you give him permission or you don't. He will judge you. Because he's the Lord over you. He rules and reigns over you. God will judge people like Pharaoh. People who think they are in charge. People who think they can do whatever that they want to do. People who think they can sin the way they want to sin. People who think there is no higher authority than them. People who think they are God of their own lives. God will judge them. Very soon, God will reveal to them. He will reveal to you that he is the Lord. And you will know him of his judgment on that day. It's Sadly, even today, there are people who will know the Lord like that. They do not want to know the Lord as a Savior. They do not want to run to Jesus for their salvation. But they will know the Lord as a judge on that day. If you do not want to give your life to Jesus, if you do not want to surrender your will to Jesus, if you do not want to trust in the Lord Jesus, very soon you will know the Lord as a judge. If you trust in your good works to save you, very soon you will know the Lord as a judge. If you are sitting on the throne of your life, if you live according to your rules, if you disregard God, there is a day where God is going to make himself known to you. And money will not be able to save you on that day. Connections, people you know in high level, they will not be able to save you on that day. You will know the Lord as a judge. But if you surrender your life to Jesus today, if you come to Jesus today and surrender your will to him, you will know the Lord as a Savior today. And on that day, you will know him as a Savior on the coming wrath. It's up to you to choose. Do you want to know the Lord as a Savior or as a judge? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your never-ending faithfulness to your people in all the ages. Thank you for never leaving your people in times of need, for never forsaking them. We read you were with Israel in Egypt, and you are with your people who are suffering even today. You are closer to the brokenhearted. You are not distant. You provide care and comfort and love for them. But even above that, you provided a way out of Egypt for your people, pointing to a great redemption from sin. We thank you that we are saved not because of anything that we have done, but because of everything that you have done for us through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation from sin and salvation from the coming wrath of God. Amen.